Welcome to Topics in Endurance Sports. This is Tim. This is day three of the Dog Days of Podcasting. Before I begin reading this book, Outlive, or reading little parts of it, I should mention this was sent to me by my friend Charlie. He actually sent me the book in the mail, or I guess he ordered it and had it sent to me. And he is my age, or about my age. We are both in our early 60s, and we both are feeling our mortality very keenly. Death seems to be just around the corner for us compared to when we were younger, when we didn't feel that way so much. So anyway, he's always thinking about these things, and he's the one that sent me this book, and I did find it very interesting. So thank you, Charlie. Anyway, all I'm going to do is read passages from this book. When I read it the first time, I highlighted it, just like you did when you were in school. I highlighted certain sentences. So I'm just going to read these sentences, and I'm not going to necessarily give a bunch of context to it or anything like that. Now I'm just going to hope it at least is somewhat coherent. What I may do when if I've highlighted one sentence in a paragraph, I may read the whole paragraph or part of the paragraph. So anyway, I'm in starting in chapter one. Again, the book is called Outlive by Peter Attia. Chapter one is called The Long Game, From Fast Death to Slow Death. So in one paragraph in here, he says, in 1900, life expectancy hovered somewhere south of age 50, and most people were likely to die from fast causes, accidents, injuries, and infectious diseases of various kinds. Since then, slow death has supplanted fast death. The majority of people reading this book can expect to die somewhere in their 70s or 80s, give or take, and almost all from slow causes. Assuming that you're not someone who engages in ultra-risky behavior, the odds are overwhelming you will die as a result of one of the chronic diseases of aging that I call the Four Horsemen. He brings this Four Horsemen thing up a lot. So these are the Four Horsemen. You're going to die of heart disease or cancer or neurodegenerative disease, that's the word I couldn't say yesterday, neurodegenerative disease, or lastly, type 2 diabetes and related metabolic dysfunction. So that's the way most of us are going to go, and we're going to die slowly. He goes on to mention, longevity has two components. The first is how long you live, your chronological lifespan. The second and equally important part is how well you live, the quality of your years. This is called health span. I brought this up yesterday, I think. A health span is typically defined as the period of life when we are free from disability or disease. So he says the second part of our plan, is for longevity. Part of our plan for longevity is to maintain and improve our physical and mental function, because that's the part of your health span. What else does he say here? But in every case, we are intervening at the wrong point in time, talking about how we treat disease, well after the disease has taken hold, and often when it's already too late. When the eggs are already dropping, he's referring to something he said earlier, it gutted me every time I had to tell someone suffering from cancer that she had 6 months to live, knowing that the disease had likely taken up residence in her body several years before it was ever detectable. We had wasted a lot of time. While the prevalence of each of the horsemen diseases increases sharply with age, they typically begin much earlier than we recognize, and they generally take a very long time to kill you. By the way, I don't read really well. I notice I have a lot of trouble with reading. That's the way it goes. He mentions that if you get type 2 diabetes, he says that's the last step on a long line of issues that you have had. So one thing he does is he tries to make people healthy enough so they never even come close to getting diabetes. Here's some comments he has about medicine's biggest failings in attempting to treat diseases. Despite throwing billions of dollars in research funding at the horsemen, mainstream medicine has gotten crucial things dead wrong about their root causes. We will examine some promising new theories about the origin and causes of each and possible strategies for prevention. So Peter Attia is going to tell you everything that the mainstream medicine did not tell you. He's going to be the one that's going to enlighten all of us. Millions of people are suffering from a little-known and underdiagnosed liver condition that is a potential precursor to type 2 diabetes. So this is something he thinks is important. He also mentions the metabolic derangement that leads to type 2 diabetes also helps foster and promote heart disease, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. So he's connecting all these things up. Addressing our metabolic health can lower the risk of each of the horsemen. He goes on later to say exercise is by far the most potent longevity drug. He puts drug in quotes there, saying exercise is the most important drug. No other intervention does nearly as much to prolong our lifespan and preserve our cognitive and physical function. But most people don't do nearly enough, and exercising the wrong way can do as much harm as good. So first of all, you all need to get out and exercise, every one of you, but you need Peter Attia to tell you how to do it. He's the expert. I know, I'm kind of making fun of him, aren't I? I probably shouldn't be. Let's see here. This is how I see my role. This is Peter Attia speaking. I am not a laboratory scientist or a clinical researcher, but more of a translator, helping you understand and apply these insights, his insights. This requires a thorough understanding of the science, but also a bit of art, just as if we were translating a poem by Shakespeare into another language. Okay. Later on, he says, my goal is to create an actionable operating manual for the practice of longevity, a guide that will help you outlive. That's such a weird word. I feel weird every time I say it. I hope to convince you that with enough time and effort, you can potentially extend your lifespan by a decade and your health span by possibly two, meaning you might hope to function like someone 20 years younger than you. But my intent here is not to tell you exactly what to do, is to help you learn how to think about doing these things. He's going to be a teacher. He's going to tell us what to do. More broadly, longevity demands a paradigm-shifting approach to medicine, one that directs our efforts toward preventing chronic diseases and improving our health span, and doing it now rather than waiting until disease has taken hold or until our cognitive and physical function has already declined. So he does, I do believe a big part of his idea here is, you know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you need to be really taking all these things seriously. Those ages when most of us aren't even worrying about this type of thing. It's not preventative medicine, he says. It's proactive medicine. And I believe it has the potential not only to change the lives of individuals, but also to relieve vast amounts of suffering in our society as a whole. This change is not coming from the medical establishment either. It will happen only if and when patients and physicians demand it. So again, mainstream medicine is not doing the job. All right, so there's a little introduction of what he's going to be getting at here. And actually, that is all of chapter one. So we'll start chapter two tomorrow.